Okay, shalom aleichem, rabbeisai, a guten chodesh Adar should be a chodesh mitzvah Hashem, a month of sasayin and simcha and refuah. Bezras Hashem. Okay, we are in Chovis Halavavis Shar Avodas Elokim, Perek Vav. We're right in the middle of a piece. Give me a moment. The Ha'inyan Hashlishi. Right in the middle of Perek Vav, the Ha'inyan Hashlishi.
Page 304 in the Fell Time.
304, Yashukoyach. 304 in the English edition. In the Lev Tov Hebrew edition, it's page Resh Mem Hei. In the English Fell Time, it's page 304. Okay, let's just remind ourselves what the Chovis Halavavis is doing here. The Chovis Halavavis is continuing really to develop his ongoing theme of understanding that we are, in the Chovis Halavavis' world, let's put it this way, the main motivation of serving Hashem properly is that sense of indebtedness. And the Chovis Halavavis here is describing different levels of commitment, different levels of dedication that are expected because of different levels of care that Hashem showed for you. And he showed that this actually turns into a symbiotic process, a process that builds off it, or builds on itself. Meaning as follows, just to sum up what we've been seeing until here. It starts with Hashem showering goodness upon all the human race. Then, that already obligates the entire human race to serve Hashem according to the dictates of their own sense of morality, their own sense of seichel. Those who really dedicate themselves to this cause, the examples being, or put it this way, the foremost example being the family we know as Avraham and Sarah, really dedicated themselves to this cause and went to the utmost to serve Hashem based on their own seichel, because that was Hashem again. In those days, Hashem was not providing more precise instructions. You're supposed to use your own sense, your own seichel, follow your own conscience, try to develop that as much as possible into a system of serving Hashem. Those who dedicated themselves to this, again, we'll use just Avraham Avinu as the paradigm, was then drawn closer. Hashem chose his family and turned them into the chosen nation, into the Am Hashem. This was the result of Avraham Avinu's superlative efforts, which had not been, there was nobody like him in that sense before in history. There were very many great people, but not like him. So his family was drawn close and given special attentions. Given special attentions in the sense of, first of all, Hashem is drawing them close to him. But that also manifested in the fact that among all of mankind, there were very spectacular chesed done for them in Mitzrayim, etc. And therefore, Hashem expects them now to dedicate themselves to a higher level than the rest of mankind. How does this manifest? It manifests in Hashem now giving us a full detailed program of exactly how to serve him. Here I want to make an important point in parentheses, but an important point. That is that sometimes, you know, when there's discussion about what is the significance of this mitzvah, why is that mitzvah so important morally, isn't it enough just to live as a moral, good, decent human being? The answer to that is, basically we're seeing from the Chovis Halavavis here. You see it in the Kuzari, you see it in the Ramban. This is the idea that you see across the board. Living as a good, decent human being is fine for the rest of mankind. The whole significance of being a Jew is that Hashem drew you closer and therefore he is cluing you in to higher levels of pleasing him. And these are things that are already beyond the basic level of what does my sense of moral decency dictate. Here already things Hashem is letting you into the secrets of, you're closer to me now, I want to clue you into what pleases me beyond that. In other words, we've discussed this in the past, but this is really where it comes in here also in the Chavis Halavas. It's the understanding that Hashem is not a human being. Okay, that seems simple enough. But if you understand that he's not a human being and he's something real for you, you may have to acknowledge the fact that the human mind can't necessarily grasp, can't necessarily encompass everything that's good for Hashem. Meaning, a person comes and says, I don't understand why it's so important that I shouldn't wear wool and linen. I understand the moral value of Kibbutz Avayim. I can even understand the concept of Shabbos. I can understand the moral value of many of the halachas of tznius and decency. I can understand the moral value of ben adam l'chaveroi. But why should this be so important? Why should that be so important? Why is basa b'chalav so important? Or Shabbos, I appreciate the general concept. But why does it really make a difference once it gets into the very fine details of how exactly you're supposed to, you shouldn't strain a salad and you shouldn't remove bones from fish and this and this way. Why are these details so important? The answer is that once you're a Jew, on the contrary, these take on an even greater significance than the ones that you do understand, because these, the ones that are beyond human senses, are actually reflect the special relationship you have with Hashem, where he is telling you, that's right, these are beyond human sensitivities. These are already my godly sensitivities. The Kotzker Rebbe said, I wouldn't want to serve a God. If Hashem, everything he liked were things that you could figure out yourself, then he said, I wouldn't want to serve a God that I can completely understand, because that's basically saying his frame of reference, Chas v'Shalom, is not much bigger than mine. On the contrary, Hashem is telling you, I am much more immense than what your mind can grasp. And I'm allowing you a relationship with me. That means that you have to be ready to operate on my terms, because you don't grasp who I am. You can not fathom, so to speak, godly sensitivities. You want a real relationship with me, but yet you're going to relate to me with human concepts. Now, it's kind of like a three-year-old kid. It's very cute. A three-year-old kid really wants to make his mommy a nice supper, so he lays out some potato chips and three taffies. He can't fathom why she would appreciate a salad. It's not within the range of his taste. Salad is something you eat when you're forced to, if your mother forces it down your throat. But if I want to make my mother happy, why would I prepare vegetables for her? I can't understand why a person would want to eat vegetables. I can understand why a person would want to eat candy, so I'm going to offer my mother candy. Because you're a three-year-old. And it's true, the sensitivities of a 30-year-old may be beyond you. So if we really want a relationship with Hashem, and it's something real, we have to really understand that there are going to be things that are beyond our sensitivities. And therefore, the beauty of having a relationship with Hashem is that he's cluing you into these things. And again, he only did this to those who are closest to him. No other nations did Hashem notify of his own special laws. Human intellect in general, a general sense of morality and decency, yes, that is, all the human race is expected to share that and to connect with that. But to be clued in to Hashem's own kivyochol a million times, personal sensitivities, that's only to the people who he's drawing closest to him. I have to understand that it really goes further. These sensitivities are not just about Hashem's sensitivities, so to speak. I have to understand that really, essentially, it isn't true at all, because don't be so presumptuous as to think that you can really affect Hashem's feelings, kivyochol. You can to the extent that he allows you to. But the point here is, I just touched on some deep concepts which we're not getting into right now. But the point is to understand that it's also more than that. Living your life guided by a general sense of morality, of decency, etc., is great for the human being. But when we say that Hashem drew us closer, that means that you are a lot more than just a human being. You are a neshama. A neshama is infinitely more than a human being. And once again, the neshama is something that is beyond our human grasp. We are not in touch with our true selves. And these mitzvahs that are beyond a human sense of morality, a human sense of decency, beyond the human intellect, are already matters of caring for the neshama. Here, once again, you can't come and say, well, this I understand, so this is probably good for the neshama. The neshama is something you have no idea what you're dealing with. So once again, all you can do is come and work with a divinely dictated system where, yes, you're doing all kinds of things you don't understand because you are operating with something that is way beyond you. The neshama is way beyond you. Hashem is way beyond you. And here, all you can do is work with the instructions that he dictates. Okay. But we get back to the point. So yes, this is what the Chazal Salavas is telling us, that once Hashem draws a particular nation closer, the expectations rise accordingly. And now you are expected more. There's more expected of you than is expected of mankind in general. Then it goes further. Within that chosen nation, indulge me, I'm sorry. Then it goes further. The next level of Hashem's benefit, meaning it goes up a step beyond this also. There can be a particular family in Klal Yisrael that's drawn extra close due to their extra efforts within Klal Yisrael, meaning they take that next level of expectation, they take the Torah and they really dedicate themselves to it. As a result, Hashem draws them even closer, and accordingly, the expectations of them rise even more than that of the rest of the Jewish people. Let's see the examples of this. Kakehuna Ulevia. This is what happened to the family of Aaron. This is what happened to Shevet Levi. Vizera Hamelucha Beveiz David. This is what also happened to the family of David. We saw earlier that the Kohanim and the Levim demonstrated extra loyalty to Hashem, and therefore the expectations rose accordingly. Now, the Kohanim have extra mitzvahs that the rest of us don't have. Kohanim, they're more restricted in who they're allowed to marry, they're more restricted in their laws of Tumah and Tahara, right? And also, the service in the Beis HaMikdash demands a lot more of them. The Kohanim were living with, they had to be proficient in a lot more areas of Shulchan Aruch. I mean, we have four sections of Shulchan Aruch, right? The Kohanim had at least another two. All the dinim of Karbanis they had to be proficient in. They also had to be very proficient in the laws of Tumah and Tahara, more so than the rest of the Jewish people. So, the privileges rose, they were drawn closer, and the expectations rose accordingly. Hashem now raised his expectations of them. And the same applies for the family of David. We'll see how does that work momentarily. Let's see. The added expectations that Hashem has from Kohanim and Levim are all written out in the Torah. Akhtaraz Beis Davin, what are the higher expectations that Hashem has from the house of David? They are, Kemaisha Kasuf, it says in the Pasuk, Beis David, Koyama Hashem, so says Hashem to the house of David, Dinu Labaykar Mishpat, Vatilu Gazul Miad Oishik. You have to judge. Every morning you have to judge the Jewish people righteously, and you have to save the downtrodden from their oppressors. Meaning, now there's a higher level of expectation on the family of David. They now are held responsible for the welfare of Klal Yisrael, to make sure that Klal Yisrael is being treated justly. Now they are there's a whole added layer of expectation and responsibility laid on them. Why is that? It's because of the fact that David so dedicated himself to Hashem. Therefore, his family was chosen. They were given extra privileges. They were drawn especially close. And now, there are higher levels of expectation on them. So let's understand this. I remember one time when I was in yeshiva, in Nachlas Halavim in Haifa. So the Mashkiach, Rabbi Weisblum, there in the yeshiva, the people from Chutz La'aretz were a small minority, a handful of people from Israeli yeshiva, a handful of people from Chutz La'aretz. In fact, at the time, I was the only American. There was like 5 or 6 French bachrim, and like 2 Swiss bachrim, and I was the single American in the yeshiva. The yeshiva was probably about 200 bachrim at the time. Today, it's much bigger. So the Mashgiach, Rabbi Weisblum, made a special va'ad, like he had a special time that he dedicated to the Talmidim from Chutz La'aretz. And we used to get together with him once a week. He used to teach us, he had his own little session with us. And at one of these little talks, he was talking about the subject of Kahuna. And I just remember that there was one boy, he was a very, Baruch Hashem, was a group of good boys. And he was talking about this concept about how Hashem drew the Kohanim closer to him. And there was one boy there who was a very, very sincere, hardworking boy. And he just had a very, very hard time with this. He kept saying to the Mashgiach, he kept saying to Rabbi Weisblum, he said, that means that a Kohen is closer to Hashem than I am? That means that Kohanim are closer to Hashem than the rest of us? He had a very hard time swallowing the fact that he can't get as close as a Kohen. So I just remember that was itself an inspiration, just seeing how much it bothered this boy. In fact, it's interesting. I don't even remember Rabbi Weisblum's response. Sometimes that itself can make a big impact, which too, it had a lasting impact on me, how much this boy was bothered and pained over the fact that he can't get as close as the Kohanim can get. But the truth is that if we're studying this piece of Chavis HaLavas carefully, you actually see that both when it comes to Kohanim and when it comes to the family of Beis David, these are really just examples of a general system. The Kohanim serve as a paradigm, a model of how it works. If a family really dedicates themselves to Hashem, look at the Kohanim as the example of how it works. Hashem draws them closer and the expectations rise accordingly. David, this was not actually in the Torah. This happened afterwards, but you see it in the Navi, right? And we're meant to understand that, yes, if my family draws especially close to Hashem now, there are not going to be mitzvahs added in the Torah to my family, but that very same dynamic applies. Hashem will show that family favor, and the expectations will rise accordingly. Right? Look at the one of the great people that we lost recently was Rav David Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. There's a beautiful example of that, of a family that went all out in terms of their dedication to Hashem, and they were granted very special distinction. Here we're talking about a story of 150 years ago. Soloveitchik family, the famous Brisk dynasty. This is not something that is in the Torah. It's not something that goes back to the time of Tanakh. This is a story of a family that dedicated themselves to Hashem in an all-out kind of way. And they were elevated to a place of distinction in Klal Yisrael. And they indeed now carry more responsibility. They serve as examples for much of Klal Yisrael. Started with right, the father of the Soloveitchik dynasty, of the Brisk dynasty, the Beis Halevi, Beis Sheber Soloveitchik, Beis Hevdev Soloveitchik, a man of very, very, very intense dedication to Hashem. And there you see a beautiful example of how it just turned into a line of Gedolei Torah. He was followed by Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, whose impact on the yeshiva world. You can, in a sense, say that the whole style of learning in the yeshiva world is the direct product created by Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. His son, the Brisker Rav, was already from the leaders of the Torah world here in Eretz Yisrael in the early days of the state after the war. And this Reb David was his son. continuing that in that brilliant lineage. Okay. So now we move on. Omishesh Limam. La Ava Sutzeno Elekim. Now, a person, when you have a member of this family, one of these privileged families, who does live up to the expectation, once again, because he wants to live up to the expectation, he appreciates the closeness, he appreciates Hashem bringing him close, and therefore he makes the efforts to live up to it. Yechadeu hakel betoiva boilam hazeh ubegmul hagodah boilam habah. Hashem will yet show him even greater favor in this world, and his reward will be waiting for him in the next world. Nadiv nivchar meira tzedek. Hashem will turn him into, he'll grant him our prestige in Klal Yisrael, or he'll turn him into a teacher of Klal Yisrael. Now, what is the idea? We're saying that as a result of showing special dedication to Hashem, perhaps you'll be granted power in Klal Yisrael. You have to understand that the idea is not that, oh, wow, great, now I get that power. Power is, once again, Hashem is showing trust in you. If Hashem gives somebody power in Klal Yisrael, prestige, influence, the idea is that now I expect you to be raising others to follow your example. More to be said about this, but a bit later in the Chovos HaLevavos. So now, who's the example of this? The example of this is Pinchas. Pinchas, right? Among the Kohanim and among the Levim, Pinchas dedicated extra loyalty and dedication to Hashem. You have to appreciate that what Pinchas did was very unpopular. It was a very... You want to appreciate it, a bit more depth, the dynamics that were going on there at the time. We know this story. We know the story of Pinchas, right? But let's learn it again, perhaps with a little bit more, rounding it out a bit more. The Jewish people were subject to a different kind of attack. A different kind of attack. A spiritual attack. This was a plot conceived by Bilam, who knew had really hit the Jewish people in their weak spot. He advised their enemies that Hashem hates immorality. Therefore, you will not be able to hit them in a military way because Hashem's right there with them. You have to weaken them from the inside. How do you weaken them from the inside? Well, Hashem hates immorality. See?
Rabbi, we don't hear you.
We can't hear you, Rav.
He knows that. He's gone to fix it.
Hello, please let me know if you hear me now. Someone just chat to let me know if you hear.
Yes, we hear you.
You hear me now?
Yes,
we do. Okay, good. Okay. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, Raboisai. An inherent part of doing business with me is contending with my low technological skills, which includes keeping track of whether my cell phone is dying. Okay, let's move on. We started talking about Pinchas. The people of Moab and Midian hit them successfully. They sent in, again, like we said, I'm not sure where I was cut off, but again, we'll say that this was a plot to try to weaken the Jewish people. Bilaam advised the people of Midian and Moab, he advised Balak, you cannot hit the Jewish people through military strength because they're going to come up against Hashem. The only way place you can hit them is to try to distance them from Hashem. You want to do that well? Hashem hates immorality. And therefore, they infiltrated the Jewish camp, not with an army, but with a force of women who were immodestly dressed and were out there to attract. Or in other words, they were out there to kill, quite literally. They were out there to attract. This was something unusual in the Jewish camp. The Jewish camp were not used to women going around in such a way. The Jewish women acted with extreme sneers. The camp was run with very great sneers. In fact, as Bilaam himself acknowledged when he gave the drasha, when he gave his bracha, was that was why Hashem resided among the Jewish people. And this is what they were coming to counter now. And they came there, and for the people who had lived in such a state of purity, they were so spiritually sensitive, this was very startling. And many fell. It's true. Being raised in a sheltered environment makes one very sensitive, but this is one of the responsibilities that we have as the Jewish people. People started falling. Now, as will often happen, is that once there's a Nisayan, once there's something that people would prefer not to, people would prefer to just give into their taivas, give into their own lusts. Once that happens, it will turn into a philosophy. The self-righteous will come along. They would like to be able to indulge themselves. They don't want to feel like they're doing anything wrong. Therefore, they get self-righteous about it. They start giving philosophies. They start developing Torahs. And you know the famous story with Reb Chaim Volozhiner and a Talmud of his. Reb Chaim Volozhiner had a Talmud who went bad, soured. And one time they met each other, and this person met Reb Chaim Volozhiner looking like a guy. I'm sorry, just a second. He met Reb Chaim Volozhiner looking like a guy, and meeting his great Rebbe, you suddenly found himself face to face with him, he felt very uncomfortable. So he blurted out, kind of had to justify himself. He said, Rebbe, I had a lot of kashas, I had a lot of questions. Reb Chaim Volozhiner looked at him and said, you had questions? He said, that's not the problem. Questions have answers. The problem is you have a lot of tirutzim. So you don't have a lot of kashas, you have a lot of tirutzim. Meaning all of your kashas really are just tirutzim. They're the answers. They're coming to answer up your change of lifestyle. You didn't want to work too hard. You didn't want to have to daven three times a day. You didn't want to keep Shabbos. You didn't want to keep kashrus. You wanted to be a part of the non-Jewish world with all of its pleasures. And therefore, you came up with all kinds of philosophical problems. Right? Isn't that often the case? When you don't want to feel bound by something, so it starts with that, and then it moves on to philosophy. So, here, it became a situation where they started challenging Moshe. I assume it wasn't. It was those who did. This obviously does not reflect the entire Jewish camp, certainly not. But those who did, they started challenging Moshe. And it started turning into doing it on principle, doing it with a philosophy, right? How often do will people use genius thinking in order to just justify what really just comes from instinctive lusts and lack of thought. But afterwards, you want to make it justified. You want to make it beautiful. I'd like to be able to enjoy it and also feel good about myself. And therefore, all kinds of self-righteous justifications come in. And here we had a situation where the leader of Shevet Shimon, or one of the leaders of Shevet Shimon, began heading the movement of not just are we doing this, but we actually are self-righteous about it, we believe in it, etc. I actually heard from Reb Shlomo Miller of Toronto, who explained it even more than that. He said that he came with an argument toward Moshe that if you're going, he said, look, this is something that a test that our people are facing now. If you're going to insist on the full standard of forbidding this, we're going to lose people. And therefore, we have to make it kosher. We have to allow it to a certain extent. And therefore, Zimri personally showed an example of, no, this can be done. It can be done by a Jewish leader. It can be done in the Jewish camp. It can be shown that there was philosophy behind it. And Pinchas came along, and it was a moment of confusion in Klal Yisrael. It was a moment of great confusion. And Zimri was basically coming and was really threatening. He was threatening Moshe's hold on Klal Yisrael. He was threatening the standards of Klal Yisrael. He was threatening the purity of Klal Yisrael. And without realizing it, he was really going to be bringing Hashem down hard on Klal Yisrael. Pinchas came with a combination of two things. We have to realize this. Pinchas came as a kanoi. A kanoi, as we all know, is a highly unpopular word. The truth is, because the concept is often abused, but the true kanoi is something to admire. Sorry to say that. The true kanoi is something to admire. This is a person, and we'll talk about Pinchas now, was operating with, driven by two great senses. First of all, Hashem's honor. Hashem was being undermined here. And this was a person who was passionately in love with Hashem. And he could not stand for Hashem's honor to be undermined. That was one sense that he was operating with. But there was another sense that he was operating with. And this is important to realize as well. He was operating with a deep sense of care and concern for the Jewish people. What is this going to do to the Jewish people? We already know that Hashem will not tolerate breaches of this nature. So this person is threatening not only the standards, not only the spiritual standards of Klal Yisrael, but he is threatening Klal Yisrael in a very physical, existential kind of way. And therefore, he came and he did something which was very unpopular. We have to realize that. It was very unpopular. He went ahead and he killed Zimri. It was dangerous, and it was unpopular, and he got a lot of flack. He got flack for it. People were speaking of him, bad-mouthing him, as people will do with the true leaders of Klal Yisrael when they take an unpopular stance. And Lemaisa, we're told, Hashem came afterwards and said, Pinchas Lemaisa saved the Jewish people. Because Pinchas stood up for my honor, he actually protected the Jewish people from tragedy. But now, the Chavis of Avos here cites the pasuk from Tehillim, which gives us more insight into it. It describes it as a tefillah on Pinchas' part, Pinchas' act when he went and drove that spear through Zimri and his partner. It was an act of tefillah on behalf of the Jewish people. He was davening for the Jewish people when he was doing that. He was trying to fend off the disfavor that Zimri was bringing on, and he was doing it, he was weeping, not only for Hashem's honor, but for the danger that he was afraid of for the Jewish people. And he was having heartfelt feelings as he was killing them. Don't let this act hurt the Jewish people. Don't let Zimri's act hurt the Jewish people. So here, among the family of Kayanim, we'll get back to the Chodesh Alvavis' point. Among this family of Kayanim stood a person who demonstrated extra special dedication among the general dedication of Shevet Levi. And then that pasuk continues. Like Hashem actually said in the Torah. Here David HaMelech says that Techoshev Litzdako Ador Vador Ad Olam. This was considered, it was chalked up to his merit for all of posterity. And we know that it was since then Pinchas was in a place of leadership in Klal Yisrael. He was not the Shefet, he wasn't the Nasi, but we see later throughout the following generations, in the days of Yeshua, in the days of the Shoftim, how Pinchas was in a position of leadership and influence of Klal Yisrael. Hashem put him there because of the extra dedication that he demonstrated. So, now, we move on. A couple of more lines of the Chovas HaLevavos. The Chovas HaLevavos makes the point that now this person, because of his extra dedication, Hashem draws him even closer. Now, let's just keep track of the different layers here. We have mankind in general. A person who lives up to the expectation of a human being will be drawn closer by Hashem as Avraham was. And now, his people have been chosen as the chosen people. They're shown special favor, and there are higher expectations of them. Those among this chosen people who will live up to those higher expectations and dedicate themselves to it, if it's a family, that family will be chosen close, will be drawn close. They'll be shown extra favor, be given bigger privileges, be drawn closer, and will be held to higher expectations as a result. And when an individual lives up to those expectations, you can also skip stages, by the way. If an individual among the Jewish people, or not among the Jewish people, does his utmost to draw as close to Hashem as he can, he will be singled out by Hashem. He'll be shown special favor. He'll be drawn close. And now, there will be higher expectations of this individual. So, and this is already the fourth level, right? We have mankind, we have the chosen people, we have a family among the chosen people, a class among the chosen people, and then we have the individual person. The special favor that Hashem shows to an individual. He is now being singled out from among his family, from among his nation, and from among mankind. Right here we just ran through again the four layers. This is the individual, that's the top of the pyramid, who's chosen out from among that special family, that's the second layer, who was singled out from among the chosen nation, that's the third layer, who's singled out from among mankind in general. And Navi Muvchar, and he is put into the position of being, say, a Navi, a Nogid Mitzav Elahanig Uma, or perhaps he'll be made into a king, in the case of David HaMelech, who is now commanding and leading the nation. Oy Chacham, Heire Lekim Esruchai B'Chacham O'Tvun HaVeitzav Adoyim Elezer, or perhaps he's given a special wisdom, and now he becomes a great Torah sage. V'Alkol Toiva Mehem, and corresponding to the special favor that he's shown, and the special place that he's put into, Yischayev Ba'Avodah Yisrael Elekim. He now, the expectations of him rise accordingly. Umishay Shlima, and if a person lives up to those expectations, you will be shown extra high levels of favor, which are really just symptoms of the fact that he is now that much closer to Hashem. And Hashem will grant him more ability and more wisdom to be able to take it even further. Okay. Now, but when a person is drawn this close, and he ends up spiting Hashem, not living up to it. If he spites Hashem after being drawn this close, he'll drop all the way down through all the different levels. Hashem will hold him more accountable, both in this world and in the next world. Okay. So, really, this is all the Chovas HaLevavos is laying out here the groundwork for understanding the different levels of favor that Hashem will show people and the different levels of expectation that Hashem has accordingly. And this is all leading up to the Chavis of Avos will now come. The next step will be to show us how to relate in this way in our own private individual lives. We'll end here for this week. Once again, wishing everybody a Chodesh Adar of great mazel and simcha and good health. Kol tov.
Amen. We thank
Amen.
The Rav.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Shavua tov. Thank you. Kol tov.
Thank you.